Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Emery Futo? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Emre Futo was born in Hungary on October 23, 1937. In 1956, he moved to the United States and lived with a cousin in St. Louis, Missouri. He worked the night shift at an Anheuser-Busch facility. In 1964, Emre met a woman named Una Bailey. She had been born in St. Louis on April 11, 1941. The couple married a few months after meeting. They lived on Wyoming Street in St. Louis. Later in 1964, Una had a son named Emery. In early 1968, Una had another son named Nick. He had a developmental disability. Years later, relatives would say that Nick's father was not Emery. Exactly 15 months after Nick was born, Una had a son named Joseph, who went by the name Joe. By the mid-1970s, the family lived on Marquette Avenue in St. Louis. Emre continued to work at Anheuser-Busch. Una worked at Boatman's Bank. The family was described as financially comfortable. In 1982, Emery Futo graduated from high school. He enlisted in the Navy and was stationed at Pearl Harbor. In December 1985, Emery married a woman from California named Angela Leverenz. In June 1987, both Nick and Joe graduated from the same high school. It sounds like Nick must have been held back at some point during his education. Nick invested in a party lifestyle, and Joe joined the Army. Nick's parents were concerned that his life was going in the wrong direction, but they may have been worried about the wrong son. In 1989, Emery left the Navy and lived in California. He worked as a mechanic at Metal Container Corporation in Riverside. In 1990, his wife Angela had a son named Joshua. Emery was the only son who lived away from the family. His parents and his two brothers remained in St. Louis. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On July 26, 1991, 50-year-old Una Futo did not show up for work. Her coworkers and relatives became concerned and notified the police. When the police arrived at the Futo family house at about 4:30 p.m., they found that Una and her husband Emre had been murdered. Una was in the hallway. She had died due to blunt force injuries to the head. There was an extension cord around her neck. Emre was in the basement. He had been shot three times with a .38 caliber revolver and stabbed four times. It was the stabbing that actually killed him. There was no forced entry into the house. Framed photographs had been removed from the walls and broken. Only one photograph remained untouched. It was of Emery's son, Joshua. The police found one bloody shoe print in the house. At 4:30 p.m., the same time as the police arrived at the Futo family home, the body of Nick Futo was discovered behind the new St. Marcus Cemetery in St. Louis. He had been shot four times with a .38 caliber revolver. In Nick's pocket, there was a piece of paper containing a handwritten message referring to America West Flight 1408. Two blocks from the Futo house, the police found Joe Futo's red Ford Mustang. Joe's dead body was found in the back seat under garbage bags. He had been shot three times with a .38 caliber revolver. Family members attempted to reach Emery to tell him that his parents and brothers had been murdered. It took 24 hours to reach him by phone. He said that he had been camping. When he was told that his family was dead, Emery responded, quote, "Does anybody think I killed them?" unquote. When the police questioned Emery, he told them that he had not been in St. Louis for over a year. During the time of the murder, he was enjoying a camping trip with a friend. The police spoke to this friend. He said that he had taken Emery to the airport for a flight to St. Louis, the same flight that was written on the piece of paper Nick had in his pocket. Emery was arrested and transported back to Missouri. I guess he wasn't a happy camper, after all. Emery offered three different stories to the police about what happened. In his first story, he admitted that he had lied to investigators. On the night of July 25, he had been in St. Louis. The purpose of the trip was to help his brother Nick with a $200,000 cocaine deal. Nick picked him up from the airport, and they went to a wooded area behind the new St. Marcus Cemetery. Emery heard gunshots, ran to Nick's Mitsubishi Eclipse, drove the car to the airport, and flew back to California. He never went to his parents' house. The police noted to Emery that they should not find his fingerprints in the house. After thinking about this for 20 minutes, Emery supplied a second version of the story. Now he said he drove to his parents' house after leaving the cemetery. He found his mother and father dead, drove away, abandoned the Mitsubishi Eclipse, and took a cab to the airport. By this point, the police were having difficulty containing their laughter, but Emery was not done entertaining. In his third and final version, Emery told the police that after Nick picked him up from the airport, they went to the family house. Nick murdered Una with a mallet. He and Nick then met up with Joe, and the trio drove around in Joe's Ford Mustang. Nick shot Joe to death, and they abandoned the Mustang. At this point, Nick and Emery returned to the Fudo family house and waited for their father, Imre, who was due to get off work at 12:15 a.m., now on July 26. When Imre arrived, Nick shot him several times before stabbing him. At this point, Nick and Emery drove to the wooded area behind the cemetery. They entered into a deal where Emery would shoot Nick before bringing an end to his own life. Emery only kept the first part of the deal. After this, he drove away, stopped and called a cab, and took the cab to the airport. Emery was charged with four counts of first-degree homicide. The state presented their theory of the crime at trial. Here's what they think happened. Emery obtained a .38 caliber revolver and mailed it to Nick. After being picked up at the airport, they went to the cemetery where Emery shot and killed Nick. Emery then somehow caught up with Joe and shot him as well. After that, he went back to his parents' house where he killed his mother and father. On March 12, 1993, Emery was found guilty on all counts. He was sentenced to four consecutive terms of life in prison without the possibility of parole. His convictions were overturned on appeal. However, in 1997, he was retried and convicted of the same charges and received the same sentence. Now moving to my analysis. A major question in this case is motive. Did Emery only intend to kill his father or his father and mother, and his brothers were killed to eliminate witnesses? Or did Emery intend to kill all of them from the beginning? In 2020, Emery Fudo finally confessed to what everybody already knew. He, in fact, was the killer, and he worked alone. He told this to a reporter during a series of calls. Emery said, quote, "I did this. Nobody else did nothing. I am responsible for everybody. I'm nearing 60. The truth needs to be told. My brothers did nothing except turn on me," unquote. Here is the story that Emery told the reporter. From a young age, he and his brothers were mistreated by his parents, especially his father. Emery began sleeping with a knife when he was 8 years old. On one occasion, his father entered the room and Emery reached for the knife. His father smiled and said, "It's not there." His father attacked him several times. He was hospitalized on four occasions and sustained injuries like fractured ribs, internal bleeding, head trauma, and a broken kneecap. His father always told him that he loved him after the physical attacks. When Emery was 15, he punched his father in the face after his father attacked him. His father never struck him again. One time, Emery flew home unannounced and confronted his father. He threatened to kill his father and grabbed him by the throat. On another occasion, Emery's father grabbed him, and Emery responded by grabbing him back. Emery said, quote, "Don't you ever touch me again. I will kill you. I am not a little boy anymore," unquote. Emery stated that his mother would follow his father's orders, but she was also a victim. Emery's father would physically attack his mother if there were lumps in his gravy. Family members once approached Emery's father and told him, quote, "These boys are going to grow up and kill you one day," unquote. During a 4th of July celebration in 1991, the family gathered at Emery's house in California. Emery claimed that he walked in on his father and his mother alone with his son, Joshua. He wouldn't say what was going on, but indicated it was consistent with what happened to he and his brothers when they were young. Emery responded by kicking his parents out of the house. He decided that he would not run away from his parents anymore. Emery conspired with Nick and Joe to kill his parents. After arriving in St. Louis on July 25, 1991, Emery found that his brother Joe was no longer on board with the murder part. In response, Emery killed him. At this point, Nick started having second thoughts about the murder, so Emery killed him as well. Emery went to his parents' house and waited for his mother to arrive home from work. When she entered the house, he quickly killed her by surprise. Emery waited several more hours for his father to arrive home. They had a brief conversation. Emery said, quote, "I knew this day was coming. I just hoped you wouldn't," unquote. After this, Emery murdered his father. Emery has received mixed results about his confession as far as people believing him. Some people think he's telling the truth, and others believe he's lying. One of Emery's cousins confirmed parts of his story, saying that when she was 5, Emery's father mistreated her. Emery's father, Imre, also had a bad reputation as far as his personality and behavior. He was described as arrogant, strict, angry, and obsessed with cleanliness. Imre believed that he was immensely physically attractive and held his gravy to exceedingly high lump-free standards. With all this in mind, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Emery's father probably was harmful and targeted Emery and his brothers. This had a negative effect on Emery and may explain why he was described as an outcast and a loner. As an adult, Emery lived in California, but his lifestyle exceeded his income. He realized that if he killed his entire family, he stood to inherit $350,000. In June 1991, Emery asked a neighbor if the neighbor knew how to get an unregistered handgun. Later that same month, Emery told the neighbor not to worry about it. It had been taken care of. This makes it sound as though Emery had acquired the .38 caliber revolver prior to the 4th of July get-together with his family. Emery was lying. He did not develop this homicidal idea after the family get-together. He had been planning it for a while. On July 22, Emery purchased a round-trip airline ticket to St. Louis under the name Jim Clayton. He paid cash. On July 24, Emery called his brother Nick to arrange for an airport pickup in St. Louis. This is why Nick wrote down the flight number. Emery faked an illness to miss work and told his wife that he was going camping. He flew to St. Louis and was picked up at the airport by Nick. Emery murdered Nick first, met up with Joe and killed him, and finally murdered his parents. Emery planned from the beginning to kill all of them. It was the only way he could have the entire inheritance to himself. Now moving to my final thoughts. People who kill family members often accuse their murder victims of mistreating them. In this case, Emery wanted people to believe that he feared for the safety of his son, despite the fact that his son was with him in California and his father lived in St. Louis. Even if Emery's father had been harmful in the past, he did not represent any threat to Emery or his son in 1991. When Emery was crafting his deception, he failed to offer a convincing explanation for killing his father, much less wiping out his entire family. In addition to being a killer, Emery was a terrible liar.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.